A fishing dispute between Britain and France heads into choppy waters. Both sides accuse the other of breaking post-Brexit agreements on fishing rights. But what's really behind the row, and why has it escalated now? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Fishing is not only an important industry for the UK and France, but a deeply emotional issue as well. It was fiercely debated during discussions on Britain's departure from the European Union. And now, tensions are rising again. The UK used to be part of the EU's common fisheries policy that gave all European fishing boats equal access. After Brexit, EU and UK vessels needed licenses to fish in each other's territorial waters. The boats had to prove that they had fished there in the past. To make things more complicated, the self-governing British territories of Jersey and Guernsey and the Channel Islands issue their own licenses. France accused the UK of only granting it a small number of the licenses it's entitled to. Britain denies this, saying those boats it rejected couldn't prove a track record of fishing in the area. The dispute escalated on Thursday when France detained a British trawler accused of fishing without a license. Another boat was fined for not complying with maritime checks. France is threatening to block British boats from ports if the issue isn't resolved by Tuesday. Alexi O'Brien has more from the port of Le Havre.
France has laid down an ultimatum. If its fishermen do not get the licenses that they say they deserve and that they expected under the post-Brexit trade deal by Tuesday, then ports like this one will be at the centre of what they're calling targeted measures. British fishing vessels will not be able to dock at ports like this. There'll be tougher, longer health and safety checks on trucks going in and out of ports from the UK. Also, British fishing vessels will face tougher security checks if they're fishing in French waters. Boats like this one, this scallop trawler that was seized earlier in the week, accused of fishing in French waters without a license. And it's been caught up in this escalating dispute between France and the UK over access to British waters and waters off the coast of France, including the island of Jersey, which sits just about 22 kilometres off the coast. Now, French President Emmanuel Macron has said that this row is actually a test of the UK's global credibility. He's told a newspaper that you can't spend years negotiating this trade deal and then within a matter of months decide which bits you want to stick to, depending on which bits suit you best. He says that is not an example of good character. And the French Prime Minister, Jean Castex, has reportedly written to the European Commission asking for its support and saying that it must demonstrate that there is more damage by leaving the European Union than by staying within the bloc. But there are also concerns here in France and ports like this, in French fishing communities up and down the coast, that if the measures do go ahead on Tuesday, as France is threatening, actually it will be the ports, it'll be the fishing communities and consumers who end up paying the price.
France has also threatened to restrict energy supplies to the Channel Islands. President Emmanuel Macron says the dispute is a test of the UK's credibility. Britain's Prime Minister promised to retaliate if France breaches post-Brexit agreements. Both leaders are due to discuss the matter on the sidelines of the G20 meeting in Rome. All right, joining us now are our guests. In Cambridge, Graham Gudgeon, Honorary Research Associate at the Centre for Business Research at the University of Cambridge. He is former Special Advisor to the First Minister in the Northern Ireland Assembly. In Brussels, Peter Kleppe, editor of Brussels Report EU, a news website covering politics in the EU. And in Paris is Jean-Christophe Gallien, founder and CEO of Xenon 7, a European public affairs company. Jean-Christophe was closely linked to the former EU Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Peter, let me start with you today. France claims that Britain has denied fishing licenses to dozens of French boats. Britain is saying that most licenses have actually been issued, but that some French vessels don't meet the criteria for British waters. Who exactly is more to blame here?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, this has been going on for a while. Basically, the UK is saying, well, you need to be able to prove that you have been fishing before. And the French side is claiming that this is all just an excuse to allow the UK to prevent certain French fishermen to fish in its waters.
Graham, at its core, is this dispute essentially about how many French fishing boats are going to be allowed to fish in UK waters?
Well, I think it is, but it's a minor dispute. It's very hard to know from the British side why this has been made into such a big issue. It is just an issue of a few dozen small fishing boats being able to prove that they have traditionally fished in these waters. The treaty signed at the beginning of this year, the Trade and Cooperation Agreement, clearly says that. It says that you have to provide the proof. And my understanding is these boats haven't been able to provide the proof and are therefore not able to fish. Although, again, my understanding is that the Channel Islands authorities are allowing them to fish for the time being, give them a bit more time to try and establish this proof. Now, there's probably a lot more behind this, really, that explains why the French have made it into such a big issue. But at core, that is the issue. It's just a minor issue of providing proof of traditional fishing in those fishing grounds.
Jean-Christophe, France has threatened further checks and restrictions on British vessels if this is not resolved. From your vantage point, are we going to see France blocking other British boats from entering French ports?
We need to understand what's going to happen this afternoon in Rome between the two leaders that are going to meet around this issue, another larger one and more important. Because what I'm looking at is something is more very quite either personal between two leaders or a less French and British issue than Macron-Johnson, and both regarding their internal agenda and especially political and electoral agenda for Emmanuel Macron. So I'm not very sure we're going to go a bit more up on the escalating, which is something already I have not seen on the fishing or the fishing issue something as hard as this between France and the UK. We have been having some kind of a conversation at that level between France and Spain in the same maritime or fishing issue. But this is more something that is happening because we have very specific agenda here in France, both electoral and at the same time because France is going to be presiding, having the presidency of the EU starting January 1st. So something is happening because it's more a political, internal agenda because at the same time Boris Johnson wants to show his citizens that he's mastering and controlling what's happening in his water. Something is happening around this more than a more larger Brexit activation, technical and political conversation, which is already very intense between the EU and the UK.
Pieter, are you surprised at how quickly this has escalated? And from your vantage point, how big of a diplomatic row could this actually become? I mean, how much more tense could this get?
Well, you know, fisheries is a very sensitive political issue everywhere. So if you're a politician and you want a posture, then fisheries is a great, a great topic. Now, that said, I think it could still further escalate. But there's two important things. First of all, this cannot be seen independent from the overall EU-UK tensions over Irish sea checks and the demand by the British to scrap the role of the European Court of Justice in policing a part of the deal between the EU and the UK, the Northern Irish part. Now, that said, secondly, ultimately, both sides will need to compromise on fishing because European fishermen and French fishermen are dependent on being able to fish in British waters on the one hand, and the British fishery sector is dependent on the European consumer market, on the consumers of the European Union to be able to sell all their fish. And we've seen earlier this year, particularly with Scottish fishermen, how much damage can be done when this is being disrupted. So at the end of the day, it's great for posturing, but a deal will need to be found.
Jean-Christophe, I saw you nodding along to some of what Pieter was saying there. Did you want to jump in? Did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I'm quite okay with the whole perspective, but inside the EU agenda, probably he could precise it more than I can do. The fishing, of course, is a political sensible and national sensible issue, especially in some regions inside the European. We have conversation between, for example, Spain and Morocco, which are very intense around maritime issues. But at the same time, inside the global activation of the Brexit, which is both technically and politically very sensible, and it's quite normal to my point of view, it's something that is not very priority. Something is happening much more on the Northern Ireland border, and other issues are more fat than this one. And this is more something that can be handled because it's at the level of these two leaders. I really think it's more an internal issue, more a difficult that, for example, Emmanuel Macron has a lot of difficulties to, apart from the Commission, because Thierry Breton pressed on the UK yesterday. But, you know, the other leaders inside the EU members are not very, if you look at from the Polish point of view, the Italian point of view, whatever, this is not a very sensible issue. And today in Rome, I'm not very sure the ones that are going into conversation will be talking about that. So I'm not sure this is going to be escalating much more because as the panelists just said before, we need each other. We need to fish in the British waters, and the Brits need to this market and need to transform in some factories in France in reality.
Graham, Emmanuel Macron told a newspaper that this fishing row is a test of the UK's credibility, of the UK's global credibility. The UK, of course, is also involved in a dispute with the EU about the trade agreement regarding Northern Ireland. How much is the UK's credibility at risk right now?
Well, not much, I think. I mean, I think we've had a series of somewhat outlandish threats from emanating from ministers in Paris, and we know what underlies this is the fact of Brexit itself. The French Prime Minister sent a letter to the president of the EU Commission this week, saying that the British can't be seen to be gaining from Brexit. I mean, that's an absurd thing to say. This is one of France's biggest export markets, and the French government is saying the British economy can't be seen to be doing well. I mean, it's ridiculous. You're quite right that this is being tied, and the other commentators here are quite right, this is being linked to the Northern Ireland Protocol, which I think is a much bigger and more difficult issue, which has the possibility of blowing up. But surely these things are best taken separately. I mean, the fishing issue is just a matter of an access of about access of 36 small fishing boats to Channel Islands waters. We can easily solve that. It could go to arbitration. And the fact of linkage and the fact of the Prime Minister's letter to the EU suggests that the French government wants to complicate this and to make it into a much bigger issue. Perhaps it's because of the presidential elections coming up next year in France. I'm not qualified to comment on that. But the whole issue is causing bemusement in the UK. Neither the government nor the public nor the press really understand why the French are doing this.
Pieter, do you believe that a solution can be found to this, that it's supported by other EU member states?
Well, what we saw is that France has been making quite aggressive threats, including threatening to cut off electricity to the UK or to Jersey and Guernsey. I mean, the question is ultimately if they would do that. I mean, again, it would probably hurt France as an electricity exporter. So I don't think they will go that far. What we saw is that the other European governments are supporting France in theory, but they do not necessarily support all the aggressive rhetoric. So they do not necessarily support all the threats that have been coming from the French side. So, as I mentioned, yes, ultimately a compromise will need to be found. Perhaps this is indeed Macron trying to, gain some support among the fishing community and the the yellow vests, you could say, the ordinary workers, to bolster his credibility there. But I think if this escalates, it would blow up in his own face. So he also has an incentive to make sure there's a landing zone here. And indeed, perhaps today, in his talks with Boris Johnson, they can try to sort this out.
Jean-Christophe, of course, you've heard Pieter and Graham both talk about the fact that Emmanuel Macron is going to be facing a presidential election next year, and that perhaps this is for domestic consumption. Let me ask you what kind of risks this carries for him. I mean, if he seemed to be strong domestically because of this, how much does that help? If this drags on, becomes more heated, becomes more of a diplomatic row, how much does he lose because of it?
We have two, as I said, starting, we have two events that are closely linked and have a different perspective. We have that presidential election, and obviously Emmanuel Macron is trying to boost his capacity to be popular in specific Brittany, northern part of France region, where the fishing industry, even though it's not economically so sensible, it's something very popular. So these issues, especially when you're talking to the UK, and then you have that long history between France and UK, especially in these regions, which are complicated, are very popular to have a fight with UK. But this is not something that he could drag on to the end of April. Well, you have that presidential election vote. But the main point to me is where he has to be in capacity to now have a conversation with Boris Johnson, is that we are having that French presidency starting of the European Union, starting for 6 months, starting in early January, 1st of January. So he's then a leader of the European issues. And then we have that conversation with UK regarding that activation of the Brexit. But he won't be able to talk only from the French point of view. And as I said, and I tried to point, is to stress, is that when you come from Spain, Italy, Poland, Austria, Germany, you're not... I'm not sure that fishing, you know, issue is something that can be, and especially if you have that aggressive capacity and not diplomatic rhetoric, is something that can't be handled too long. So I'm pretty sure something's going to happen this afternoon, and probably we're going to have that intensity lowering down in the next days, probably in the next weeks, before that, you know, we had that 2nd of November date, which is something very good. So we're going to have that solution right now, because there's no interest now that the move has been done, either from the Macron side or the Boris Johnson side. Boris Johnson had to show his mastering, controlling of what's happening in the waters Great Britain coming from the Brexit side, you know, and it's something he has to be showing. So it's quite the good enemies fighting each other. They're trying to get, you know, it's something more internal again than European, of course, and even British or French.
Graham, I know that you've said that you expect that this is going to be resolved in fairly short order, but I just want to look at what happens if that's not the case. I mean, the UK has said that it is ready to retaliate. Do you believe that if this drags on, the UK would take retaliatory measures? And if so, what could those measures look like?
Well, I think the British government is very keen not to specify what they might be. The British government doesn't want to make this problem seem more serious than it actually is. But the French, as I think Pieter was suggesting, have already threatened to cut off electricity, not only to the Channel Islands, but also to mainland GB, where they have an interconnector. They've also threatened to go slow on customs checks. They've threatened bans on shellfish imports from UK boats. These are all very strong threats and out of all proportion to the problem as it exists. So I think the UK government would have to respond in some ways. But obviously firms will respond as well. You know, if there's a go slow at Calais on trade getting into France, a lot of companies will merely go elsewhere. They'll go to Rotterdam, they'll go to Antwerp. And Kelly and Boulogne, I think right through the Brexit process, have been trying to avoid this. They've been trying to avoid damage to the trade coming through Kelly. And of course, the head of the French region, Xavier Bertrand, is a candidate or a potential candidate in the French presidential election. So presumably he will be protecting Calais. So some of these threats are probably rather empty. But as Peter and Jean-Christophe were saying, we'll probably know more by the end of today.
Pieter, I know we've spoken today about how emotional an issue fishing can become in both countries. I want to take a step back for a moment, though, and look at, you know, how much does fishing contribute to the economies of both countries, and how much of a lifeline is it for coastal communities?
Well, of course, we're talking about thousands of jobs at the end of the day, both in UK and in France. So even if this is in percentage terms only small, if a lot of damage would be done in a short period to a certain economic sector, and if this would be regionally concentrated in an area that is relatively important for electoral reasons, then a small issue can actually become much more important. It's basically, in that sense, punching above its weight. I don't think we should also underestimate how fishermen in the public eye are seen as hardworking, ordinary people. So if you're a politician, and not just in France, and you're standing up for fishermen, I think you will always gain from that. So I think that's definitely something to be kept in mind in the light of this crisis.
Jean-Christophe, France was angered by a decision from the UK and Jersey last month to deny fishing licenses to French boats. They argued that it was a breach of the Brexit deal. From your standpoint, was it a breach of the Brexit deal?
If you look at the whole, again, the way the Brexit is being handled now, it's a very strong conversation, either politically or technically. It is quite normal. This is something that is impossible to prepare at that level, because it's something that always has to be. It's a living, you know, something that has to be handled very precisely. And we're going to have these kind of threats and, conflicts, either for strong issues or either small ones, but very symbolic, as it has been said, around the fishing or the maritime issues. It's always something very symbolic. Again, the EU has the same with Morocco in the southern part of Europe. And we've been having internally that conversation before with Britain, and we, from the French side, with Spain the same, or Spain and Portugal. So something is happening around that. But if you look at the Brexit being handled right now, people are very pessimistic, but something is happening. And it's that conversation will be going to something, probably not what has been written down, but something that evolutes, is moving from that written down to something more living, and it's quite normal. So if you look at both sides now, we are pretty sure other incidents will happen, other kind of conflicts, other minor or bigger, but it's normal, because this is something that has been written down, the treaty has been signed, of course, but it's living material. It's something that is handling people's life, is handling, you know, realities, and all can't be only, you have the written part, and you have what has to be handled after that written part. And it's happening now, and it will be happening because of a conversation that is very aggressive right now, but it's going to be this way for the next month and next years.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the discussion there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Graham Gudgeon, Peter Kleppe, and Jean-Christophe Gallien. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.